Venezuela risks U.S. sanctions over oil deals as White House escalates pressure. And number 10,022, takeaways by Plaquemium AI Hyde, and number 9,650, the White House posted a map of Venezuela labeled as the #X27:51ST state and #X27, on May 12, 2026, undermining ongoing diplomatic negotiations between the two countries over energy cooperation. Secretary of State Marco Rubio announced former President Nicolas Maduro and #X27's capture on January 3, 2026, marking a significant political shift in Venezuela. Acting President Delcy Rodriguez was defending Venezuela and #X27's territorial claim over the Essequibo region before the International Court of Justice at The Hague when the White House made its provocative social media post. The White House posted a map of Venezuela draped in an American flag on May 12, 2026, labeling it the 51st state, a social media move that threatens to unravel the most consequential bilateral energy reset in the Western Hemisphere in two decades. The post, published on the official White House account on Platform X, arrived 8 minutes before a follow-up video replaying Secretary of State Marco Rubio's announcement of former President Nicolas Maduro's capture on January 3, 2026. The timing was precise enough to read as deliberate. Acting President Delcy Rodriguez was not in Caracas when the post landed. She was at The Hague, defending Venezuela's territorial claim over the Essequibo region before the International Court of Justice. Rodriguez, responding from the Netherlands, said, "President Trump knows that we have been working on a diplomatic agenda of cooperation. That is the course and that is the path." She cited Venezuela's status as holder of the largest oil reserves on the planet and one of the largest gas reserves globally, framing the relationship as one of mutual interest rather than subordination. The post carries no official clarification from the White House on its political scope. That ambiguity is not a bug. It is the architecture of a negotiating posture that keeps Caracas off balance while Washington extracts concessions, and it places every U.S. company that has been scoping Venezuelan oil assets in a legal and reputational holding pattern. The energy joint venture that has not produced investment. President Trump described the U.S.-Venezuela bilateral relationship in April 2026 as an energy joint venture and credited Venezuelan crude with giving the United States total independence from Middle Eastern oil. The language was striking. The reality, as the source material makes plain, has not matched the rhetoric. Foreign investment has not arrived at the pace anticipated. Venezuela's economy has shown no signs of takeoff. This is true despite a sequence of concrete diplomatic steps that any serious emerging market investor would have read as a green light. The Trump administration recognized Rodriguez as head of state after the January operation, restored diplomatic relations, reopened the U.S. embassy in Caracas, and removed the Chavista leader from its sanctions list. Venezuela passed new laws regulating hydrocarbon and mineral extraction specifically to attract private sector capital. The gap between policy signal and investment flow is the central risk in the Venezuelan trade. Sanctions have been lifted. The embassy is open. The laws exist. And still, capital has not moved. Our view, the absence of private investment despite these formal openings points to a credibility deficit that no social media post can repair, and that the 51st state trolling has now made structurally worse. Institutional capital requires legal certainty above all else. A sovereign whose status can be questioned by a meme from the counterparty's head of state is not a sovereign in whom a private equity-backed upstream operator can book reserves. The geopolitical context, five simultaneous pressure points. The Venezuela provocation did not occur in isolation. On the same day the 51st state post went live, Trump landed in Beijing at 19:52 local time to begin a three-day state visit, the first by a U.S. president to the Chinese capital in nearly 9 years. The Trump Xi summit runs Thursday and Friday and covers Iran, Taiwan, tariffs, rare earths, and artificial intelligence. The Strait of Hormuz remains closed following the war launched by the U.S. and Israel against Iran on February 28, 2026. That closure has driven naphtha prices in Asia to nearly double their pre-conflict levels. Japanese Prime Minister Sanae Takaichi confirmed in April that Japan was broadening naphtha supply sources to include the U.S. Before the conflict, approximately 40% of Japan's naphtha came from the Middle East. The implications for Venezuela are direct. With Middle Eastern crude effectively locked out of global shipping lanes, Venezuelan heavy oil becomes a more valuable commodity for refiners in Asia and Europe who need alternative feedstocks. China's Foreign Minister Wang Yi, meanwhile, asked Pakistan on Tuesday to intensify mediation between Washington and Tehran and to address reopening the strait. Our view, Beijing has an acute energy interest in Venezuelan crude as a Hormuz substitute. If Washington destabilizes the Caracas-Washington opening through rhetorical provocation, it does not leave a vacuum. it leaves a lane for Chinese national oil companies to deepen the commercial relationships they have maintained through every prior U.S. sanctions regime. The macro backdrop, wash at the Fed and dollar risk for EM the same day the Venezuela Post appeared, the U.S. Senate confirmed Kevin Warsh as Federal Reserve Chair in a 54-45 vote, with Democrat Senator John Fetterman of Pennsylvania providing the margin. Warsh succeeds Jerome Powell, whose term ends Friday. He was also confirmed to the Fed's Board of Governors in a 51-45 vote the prior day. Warsh, 56, previously served on the Board of Governors from 2006 to 2011. He advocated for rate hikes in 2024 under Biden, then shifted to supporting aggressive rate cuts after Trump returned to office. Senator Elizabeth Warren called him a sock puppet for Trump during his confirmation hearing before the Senate Banking Committee. CME Fed Watch puts the probability of rates remaining unchanged at the next policy meeting on June 16 to 17 at 97%. For Venezuela and broader Latin American sovereigns, the Warsh appointment introduces a new variable. A Fed chair whose independence is contested and whose policy preferences have shifted with the political winds creates uncertainty in the dollar funding markets that EM borrowers depend on for any serious capital project. If Venezuelan oil investment requires dollar-denominated project finance, the cost of that capital is now subject to a monetary authority whose signals are harder to read than Powell's. What Colombia's Petro reaction signals for regional capital flows. Colombian President Gustavo Petro was the first regional leader to respond to the 51st State Post. After months of détente with Washington, he wrote on X, "This official White House tweet is an idea completely contrary to that of Simon Bolivar. This new idea in the U.S. government cannot be carried out without the will of the Venezuelan people, who would have to be asked to betray their son, Simon Bolivar, founder of Gran Colombia and of Venezuela's liberty." Petro's reaction matters for institutional capital allocation for two reasons. First, it signals that the Post has real diplomatic velocity in the region, not just social media noise. Second, it marks Petro's return to an adversarial posture toward Washington after a period of managed coexistence. Colombia sits directly on Venezuela's western border, controls the primary overland trade routes for any normalization of Venezuelan commerce, and hosts a significant diaspora with ties to Venezuelan supply chains. Our view, any private equity or infrastructure fund evaluating Venezuelan energy assets must now price Colombian political risk as a correlated variable, not an independent one. Petro's rhetorical escalation, however symbolic in the short term, raises the probability of regulatory friction on cross-border energy infrastructure involving both countries. Table, key bilateral developments in the U.S.-Venezuela opening, 2026. Source, Merco Press. The Plaquemines view the 51st State Post is not a policy statement. It is leverage. The White House has a documented pattern of using the same rhetorical device, flagging Greenland and Canada with the same formula before those relationships settled into negotiated outcomes. The Venezuela application follows that template. But Venezuela is categorically different from Greenland or Canada as an investment jurisdiction. Those are OECD-adjacent economies with functioning property rights, convertible currencies, and capital markets. Venezuela is a post-sanctions, post-authoritarian transition state where the legal infrastructure for foreign investment is being built in real time, where the head of state is a provisional figure rather than an elected one, and where the largest potential counterparty for U.S. private capital is a state oil company with no audited financials that institutional LPs can review. The second-order play is China. Every month that U.S. private capital delays entry into Venezuelan upstream, CNOOC, CNPC, and their financing vehicles extend the commercial relationships they have maintained for years. The Strait of Hormuz closure has made Venezuelan crude more valuable to Chinese refiners, not less. Beijing has both the appetite and the existing infrastructure to absorb incremental Venezuelan production without requiring the rule of law assurances that a U.S.-listed E&P operator needs. The third-order risk is in the Essequibo. Rodriguez was literally at the ICJ defending Venezuela's claim over a territory that sits atop one of the most significant offshore oil discoveries of the past decade, the Stabroek Block operated by ExxonMobil in Guyana, the neighboring claimant. Any institutional investor in Guyanese upstream should watch the Essequibo proceedings as closely as the Venezuela-U.S. bilateral, because a destabilized Caracas is a more aggressive Caracas at the ICJ. For private equity funds with mandates in Latin American energy, the actionable takeaway is this: the window for a first-mover position in Venezuelan upstream has not closed, but the 51st State Post has shortened the time horizon before Chinese operators fill the space. The Warsh Fed introduces dollar funding uncertainty. The Hormuz closure has raised the commodity price floor that makes Venezuelan heavy oil economic. And Petro's return to confrontation means the regional diplomatic environment is deteriorating simultaneously. The bottom line: Washington has simultaneously opened and destabilized the most consequential Latin American energy opportunity of this decade. Acting President Rodriguez has the diplomatic motive to hold the bilateral relationship together, as she stated from The Hague, and Venezuela's reserve position gives her leverage. But foreign investment has already failed to arrive despite every formal opening. The 51st State Post, with no White House clarification on its meaning, adds a sovereign dignity variable that no amount of hydrocarbon law reform can offset. Institutional capital should treat the Venezuelan opening as a real option with a shortening expiry. The commodity case has improved because of Hormuz. The political case has deteriorated because of the May 12th post. The spread between those two forces is where the trade lives, and it is compressing.